In Daniel chapter number 11, chapter 11 and verse number 21. Daniel 11, 21. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him and shall be broken. Yea, also the prince of the covenant, and after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall be strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the providence, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. And we'll be seated right there and pray and bring you the thought tonight from the Word of God. Father, strengthen our minds tonight. I pray, God, you would uplift and stir the Spirit of God in our soul, that we might take the Word of God and be able to teach it and preach it tonight as it needs to be. May the hand of God be seen in a real way. Lord, may the touch of God be here. Thank you for the singing and for the Spirit of God already worked in our heart. We thank you for that. And so I pray tonight, God, if we see the Word of God, it might be clear to us. We might take it and make an application in our heart to live a life that's better and pleasing in the sight of God in this world that makes a difference in the front of men and women. We'll give you the praise and the glory for what you're going to accomplish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, looking in the Scriptures tonight, and here in the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel, and we were in chapter number 10. I'm not through with chapter number 10. We studied last two Wednesday nights on the spirit world, and we talked about the angels, and I give you that, and we just put that in. I didn't say a whole lot about the demons and the devils. I mentioned that a week or two ago, I guess, but we do know that there's an underworld, what we call an underworld. And that's the demonic forces that are working. And what Daniel's trying to get us to see, or the Spirit of God's trying to get us through, see, is through the Daniel the prophet, is that the underworld is in charge in a lot of things that we're seeing. And it's already in charge and been in charge for years. And sometimes men take the credit, or we give men the credit for doing things, and you know what it is? It's the devil in the background bringing forth the things that's going on. What you're seeing happening in our world today, and all the troubles we find in Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, America, England, all those places, and all the havoc you're finding, it's the underworld. It is. It's the demonic forces and powers. And we take that for granted, and sometimes we overlook that. Now let me give you some things. In chapter number 10, chapter number 11, and chapter number 12, these three chapters are connected. I'll show it to you. In chapter number 10, in verse number 21, the last words, Prince, he's talking about, and we dealt with this just a little bit, but verse 1 of chapter number 11 says what? Also. That means it's connected with chapter 10, you see. When you read down through chapter 11, through the whole 45 verses, and get to the first word of chapter 12, what is that word? And. So it's a conjunction, just continues on. So chapter 10, chapter 11, and chapter 12 are in continuance. And you've got to look at that. You need to see that. And it's put that way for us to see. In chapter number 10, Daniel, and I want to point out some things about Daniel. He saw a vision. This is the last vision that Daniel sees. He saw several, and this is the last one. And this vision he saw in chapter number 10, in verse number 10, it put him on his knees and his hands on all fours. Do you see that? In chapter number 10, in verse number 10, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me up upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So it was on all fours. And we also find in verse 11 that it makes him stand. He makes him stand up. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. So we find he's standing. You look at that. And then we get down in verse number 15. We find that this vision and the touch of God with him, and we're going to look at it. It said in verse number 15, and when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground. In other words, he bowed his head, and I became dumb. That don't mean he lost his IQ. It means he becomes speechless. He could not speak any longer. So that's what happens when the Lord gets involved and intervened in our life. Verse number 17, we find something else happening about Daniel. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength. He got weak. And he said in me, neither is there breath left in me. He got breathless. And he was amazed. Now, if you'll look at this, you'll find in verse number 10, he was touched. Amen. You see that? He was touched. Now, the touch of God will put you on your hands and knees. It'll get you, and it'll also lift you up, will it not?
Amen.
Amen. So the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the touch of God in you tonight will make you stand. That's exactly what it did for him in verse number 10 and 11. The Word of God, the touch of God, and we all need the touch of God. I've used this as an application to get you to understand where we need to be, and then we'll get into the prophetic part of it here in a minute. In verse number 10 and 11, the touch of God caused him to stand. In verse number 15, the Lord spoke, and the Word speaking, God speaks to us, and when He speaks to us, He touches us with His words. And His Word here made him come to the place of being speechless. And if you'll go on down in verse number 16, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men, what? Touched my lips. And when God touches your lips, He don't make you stand, He makes you what? Speak. So He made him, the touch of God made him stand in verse 11, and the touch of God made him speak in verse number 16. And when you come to verse number 18, then there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he what? Strengthened me. So you get your strength. So you find you were strengthened when the touch of God. So if you want what you need tonight from heaven, you're going to have the touch of God on you. And the touch of God will cause you to speak, stand, and be strong. Amen. Isn't that three things that we all need tonight?
Amen.
We all fail in them areas. I don't speak like I ought to, don't stand like I should, and I don't have the strength that I ought to have. Amen. That's why we're so weak-kneed in this modern day. But I want to say we need the touch of God. Daniel got it, and God had to give him that touch, and when he did, he was touched. In chapter number 10, Daniel chapter 10 is trying to give us and show us that the spirit of Antichrist is around. Now you remember, all through the book of Daniel, he's been talking about the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire. That's the empires on the earth. We can go to our history books. We've talked about this several times and studied it. Matter of fact, we've made some pretty clear indications of that in prior lessons to the chapter number 10 and 11 here. And we know that all these kingdoms that's been on the earth, these world empires, and every one of them had division and had problems. And Daniel's trying to say, hey, look, what's happening? You see in verse number 13 of chapter 10, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now that's not the king. The prince in this place, he's talking about the opposing force. And he's trying to show this to us tonight, that the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist. Now this is not the Antichrist that we're going to find in the book of Revelation, but it is the spirit of Antichrist. Did you know we have the spirit of Antichrist in the world tonight? Amen. It's been in the world all through the ages. Every kingdom has had to put up with it. The devil fights tooth and toenail. Brother, I guarantee you he's trying to put down every kingdom that's ever stood in it all. Now, I'll give you some things. Take your Bible, and let's turn over into the book of 1 John. I want to give you something about these things about the Antichrist. Hold your place in Daniel 10 and 11. We're coming back there in just a little bit. And I'll hold you not too long maybe tonight. We'll look at some things here from the Word of God. Let your fingers do the walking through the pages of the Word of God. 1 John, chapter number 2. 1 John, chapter number 2. Isn't it amazing that John, did you catch it? John the Revelator. John the Apostle. John the Beloved. Got it? This is the one that's writing. Matter of fact, he's the only one in the entire Bible that uses the word Antichrist. Think about that. Amen. Isn't it amazing how that he's the one in the book of Revelation that describes what he's doing? without mentioning the name Antichrist, it's just those opposing forces. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, little children, it is the last time. Now, that's been almost 2,000 years ago. It is the last time. In other words, it's the last days. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there what? Many Antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time. So if we had Antichrist in John's day, certainly we've got them today. And I believe we can see from the book of Daniel that they had them in Daniel's day. Now, look at verse number 22, 1 John chapter 2. He said, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And this begins to show you the rotten doctrine, how that they do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God or God in the flesh. And so you've got to notice that. John also mentions it in 1 John in chapter number 4. In chapter number 4 and verse number 3, the Bible said, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. That's what I want you to see. We don't have the Antichrist in the world, but we have the spirit of Antichrist. He said, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now, what? Now, already is it in the world. We have the spirit of Antichrist. It works in Washington. It works in Israel. It works in Egypt. It works in all the countries. Amen. The spirit of Antichrist is all around the world. Amen. We've got it. 2 John. We got 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. But let's go to 2 John. 2 John, only one chapter. Look at verse number 7. The Bible said, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an Antichrist. And we'll find tonight that the Antichrist is working. The spirit of Antichrist is working. He's working in the world. Now, John is the one that gives the word, as I told you a while ago, and describes him as the Antichrist. But we also find tonight that we have some other places in the Word of God that has been told is going to happen. Look at the book of Timothy, please. Look at Timothy. And 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. I preached off of this many times, used this many times as a reference, but you need to get this fixed in your mind. The Bible tells us this, and he's talking about the latter days, and we have all this around. The Bible said, now the Spirit, and it's capitalized, that's the Holy Spirit of God, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now don't tell me tonight they're not there. They're out there. Amen. Sometimes we pat them on the back with our compliments. Amen. And when you're trying to uphold somebody sometimes that you think is right when they're wrong, we're patting the Antichrist and the spirits of the devils on the back. That's what we're doing. He said, here's what they're going to teach, and here's what they're going to say. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. We're living in that day. Wouldn't you believe today, brother, we're living in a time, this is one of the most crucial times we've ever had. This is becoming an unchristian nation and a Christian nation. Amen. If you put it that way, and I don't know how you'd even say it that way. We're unchristlike, brother, in America. I'm talking about as a whole. You said, not me. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about as a whole. This is becoming an unchristian nation. Amen. Bible said in verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Amen. Certain ones won't let them marry. And then they say not to eat meat, you know. Amen. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Amen. You ought to pray over it. I don't believe you ought to eat anything without praying over it. Amen. It ought to make you sick. It ought to make you sick if you don't pray over it. Amen. That's right. The old preacher's preaching, and he said he went to visit somebody, sitting down with them, and they had something had raisin pudding or something. Said he was all right, but one of the raisins moved. But he said that's the reason he prayed before he eat. Amen. Well, so I'm saying to you tonight, you better pray over it. You better pray over it, right? Amen. Somebody won't eat no raisin pudding now for a while. But anyhow, Daniel is giving us something here. And of course, we could go and look at Peter. Peter talks about the same things that they're going to be. And Jude talks about these spirits of Antichrist. He don't call them those by name, but he talks about what is happening in the last days. I don't have time for all that. You go home and look up all that. And you'll find how that many are departing from the faith. We're living in that time. Matter of fact, Paul comes to another place and said in the last days, he talks about, there will come a time, he says. There's coming a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap themselves teachers having itching ears. They will not hear the preaching of the truth of the Word of God. And that's what these demons and devils are doing up and down our country tonight. I want to expose that. I certainly do. And I recognize that's where it's coming from. I don't want to blame people because they don't want the Word of God. The devil sowed something in their mind and heart and deceived them to cause them to believe. And anybody that could believe the things that are contrary to the Word of God, amen, I just can't understand how that they want to at least attach the Bible to it. Amen. They ought to just go on and call themselves devils and go on with it. Amen. But now we're going back to chapter 10 of the book of Daniel. Chapter 10 and chapter 11 of the book of Daniel primarily is speaking and talking about the Antichrist rule or how that he's going to come into play. Now he's symbolizing this, or not symbolizing, but expressing it and trying to get us to understand it by explaining to us that it's the princes that are working and the demons and the devils that are working in the kingdoms to uproot and to destroy. Because in chapter number 10, in verse number 13, he talks about the prince of the kingdom of Persia. In chapter number 10, in verse number 20, read this verse with me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. So we're going to find that Grecia's coming in, and they're going to have the same devils working against them. And every kingdom has had that to happen. And so you'll find that's how in chapter 10 and chapter 11, he's using this, and I'm going to go through the book of Daniel with chapter 11, and there's one other chapter, was chapter 7, I believe it was, that showed us how clear and plain our Bible is according to history. You remember we looked at that? And I said, hey, look, this is a chapter that proves our Bible is real. When we get to chapter 11, and I'm not going to do that tonight because it takes too long and we done got started in it, but we know that in chapter 11 we're going to find so many things that has been fulfilled by history in comparison to our Bible tonight to prove to you again that Daniel wrote before it ever happened, give us something that he said was going to take place and Daniel didn't even know what he is writing. Amen. Isn't that something? Now, I understand some folks that go off today and say, hey, well, if Daniel didn't know what he was talking about, why are we going to listen to it? Amen. Daniel didn't know the whole of it. He didn't. God sealed it up, but he gave it to Daniel because Daniel couldn't see the church. Daniel didn't see the rapture. But Daniel did get a preview that something's going to happen to the Jews. Amen. And he's warning the people. And so he lived through part of it. Matter of fact, after he made the prophecy, don't you imagine Daniel's getting close to the end of this thing, looking back and said, hey, I understand now what I said back under 10 years ago or 20 years ago. It's coming to pass. I imagine in the last days that this had to be such a shock. You've got to think about this as shock and awe. When you get over here in chapter 10 and verse 11, and Daniel's seeing this last vision for the last time, he's seeing this and look back and said, hey, I didn't understand all that back down yonder, but now I understand it. But now God's giving me something else that's come to pass, and this is something I don't understand, and it's again shocking all, but he said, it's done took place back down to what he said going to happen. It's going to happen too. Amen. Amen. And so Daniel's looking at it. He's really disturbed to think about what's going on. And you'll see that later as we get into the book of Daniel. Now, when we get a little bit further into this thing, we find in something else in chapter number 11, the first few parts of chapter 11, if you look at it, it takes place chapter 11, verses 1 through down through verse number 35. I believe it's 35, yes. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 35 will show us what the Antichrist is doing and how he's going to do that. Amen. And how he's going to, make his impact on the world. When we get to chapter 11 in verse 36, and I'll point out something else about this in just a minute. Verse 36 down through verse number 45 will tell you and show you the complete rule of the Antichrist. And not just in laid out and put in as symbolized, but it's actually going to tell you what he's going to do. We'll read a little bit about that if we get a chance. Now, let me go back a minute and get you to understand some things before we get into the chapter 11, and I know we're not going to get there tonight. But looking in this thing, in chapter number 9, Daniel, through the Holy Spirit of God, has given us the revelation of the 70 weeks. Remember, we spent one Wednesday night on the 70 weeks. Do you remember that? And those 70 weeks, we remember we talked about that, and each week represents a year. You remember we talked about that. It refers to a year. Each week refers to a year. There are 70 weeks, which made a total of what? 490 years. And remember we talked about a man by the name of Antioch Epiphanes. Remember talking about him when he takes over. And he's a type of the Antichrist. He's not the Antichrist. He's a type of him. And we talked about that in those days back there in the past chapters of the book of Daniel. But when we got chapter 9, he begins to reveal to us what the 70 years are. And he showed us there's 69 weeks historically has already transpired and taken place. Remember, we talked about that. And went from the time at Antiochus Epiphanes and all them until the coming of the Lord, of course, how it ended up being 69 weeks. Historically, the 69 weeks has already taken place. You've got to get that fixed in your mind, and we'll deal with that a little bit more as we get a little further into the 11th chapter, especially before we get to the 12th chapter. Because the 12th chapter takes off with something different and shows a brand new whole thing. You can kind of get a hold of it. Daniel actually is a self-explanatory book, but you have to read it back and forwards and back and forwards and keep on going back and forwards or you'll miss it. And so it makes it a little harder to understand, but it's very easy if you'll just go back and forth and take the Spirit of God with you and let Him teach you a few things. Now, we find out in the 7th chapter, or in the 9th chapter, that 69 weeks has already happened. There's only one remaining week that will happen. Now, it will not happen until what? Until the rapture of the church takes place. And you've got to remember, and I've said this over and over and over, not just teaching Daniel, but teaching Joel, that these prophets, Daniel, nor Joel, nor any of the other Old Testament prophets, saw the church. They could not see it. That's a kind of a parenthetical thing. God put the church in the middle of this thing. They did not see it. And so they couldn't see the days of the Gentiles that we have today, and how that God's calling out a Gentile bride. You see, when they're talking, they're talking strictly to the Jews. They're not seeing Gentiles. In Daniel's day, you've got to remember that the Gentile was still a dog. Classified as a dog, nothing. And you have to remember in the days of Joel, that it was, Gentiles were nothing. The Gentiles were to be left alone, to be shunned. Matter of fact, that's the whole problem Daniel's having. He's in the midst of a captivity of the Gentiles, the Babylonian Empire, you see, or when they went into captivity. We start off with chapter 1. He's in captivity. I know tonight's more or less a summation of all these things, but I want us to look at it to understand a little bit of it. So we know that there's one more week yet future. One more week yet future in the 70 weeks to be made up. And that will take place immediately after the rapture of the church. And then God seals him 144,000 Jews to go through the world to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And that one week will be fulfilled to make up the 70 weeks. And then the one that Daniel saw, the rock come out of the mountain, and destroyed the mountain, come out by hand. Listen, not made by hand, excuse me. And he's the one. that's going to take over, and He's going to have an everlasting kingdom. Keep in mind, the Jews are looking for an earthly kingdom. What are you looking for tonight? A heavenly kingdom. Amen. How many of y'all been running around saying, glory to God, I can't hardly wait for the millennium. I can't hardly wait for the millennium. We don't do that. Can't hardly wait for heaven. Can't hardly wait for heaven. Ain't that what we're preaching? That's what we're excited about. Somebody said, I'm not too excited about the millennium. We ought not to be right now, don't guess. We better be imagining on making sure we get to heaven first.
Amen.
Or the kingdom ain't going to be no good to us. And so we better make sure we get that blood applied. Step in the very presence of God. So we realize today that that's what the church is preaching. We're preaching the kingdom of God. We're preaching heaven. And we're preaching that there's a hell to shun, a heaven to gain through the grace of God. Amen. By grace through faith. And that's what we're preaching today. But see, those Jews were looking for a kingdom. That's why they were looking for the Lord to come in and set up a kingdom. That's why they crowned David. Every year at his birthday, they give him another crown. They're looking for somebody to sit on their father David's throne. Excuse me. And that will be the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And the reason He ain't there is simply because they refused Him. Amen. They refused Him. You better be glad He did. You better be glad you wouldn't have got in. Amen. But anyhow, we'll find tonight as we look in the Scriptures, praise God, that we're looking for heaven, they're looking for a kingdom. But we'll see that in chapter number 11, how the book of Daniel, verses 1 down through verse number 35, as I told you a while ago, is primarily speaking about the Antichrist spirit that will come, something that's already happened. And you'll find that these 69 weeks have occurred in the first 35 verses of chapter 11. But when you get to verse number 36, you'll find out that this starts with that last week, the 70th week of Daniel. We'll start in verse number 36 and go down through the remaining of the chapter. So keep that in mind when you're studying this book. Now, a few things I want to point out tonight. I want to point these things out and we'll go home. I'll give you a text tonight, verse number 21 of chapter number 11. Let's go there. Remember, this is the spirit of Antichrist that's coming forth, and this is described, and I believe we've already talked about him. As a matter of fact, I know we have, about a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes, who, and actually they give him another name, Epinames or something, another name, I can't remember the name. They give him and give him another name because it meant madman. And that's what he had a title of, being a madman. And he was wicked, terribly wicked to the Jews. And of course, nation after nation has been terribly wicked to the Jew. But we know that this is happening in these days. So we find in verse 21, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person. This is descriptive of the Antichrist. Here it's talking about this man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, he's not mentioned in the Scripture, but you'll have to go to history and find it. We talked about that some time back. Go back and get our notes and we can look at that. Or you can go to your history book and find it too. And you'll find out tonight that this man was a vile person. Now, that's the kind of spirit that the Antichrist, he's going to be vile. He's going to be a vile person. I believe the Antichrist will be a literal person. Don't you? We'll not be the figment of somebody's imagination. We'll not be a spiritual power or a spiritual giant. He'll be a vile, wicked individual. He may have some spirituality tacked to him to get people to believe it. We've got a lot of people like that today too. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. But the Bible said, but he shall come in how? Peaceably. Now remember when the white horse rides out in Revelation? He's coming out with what? Peace. That's how the Antichrist will start his rule on the earth. Time and time again, I preach this. You can preach it out of the book of Revelation. You can preach it in other places. And right here in the book of Daniel, you'll find him that this is how it's going to take place. He's going to come in peaceably. Didn't we say before when we studied the book of Revelation, you've heard it many, many times, when the white horse comes out, he comes out with a bow, but he has no arrows. You can't hurt nobody with a bow unless you slap them on the head. Amen. You got to get close enough to do that. So you know tonight that it means that you're going to have a powerful, maybe a regime of somebody in authority, but they're not going to take any peace or have war. They're going to, and I believe tonight that the Antichrist, he'll make his entrance into the tribulation hour simply on a peaceful means. Now, down through the years, we've had so many tyrants and men who have taken over, and they've come in to take over simply with force. We had all kinds of regimes. We got them today. They're fighting in the countries around here, around the world, and they're killing each other every day, and everybody around the world believes that we take everything by force, and that's how you rise to prominence. Most of your dictatorships in other countries have taken them what? By force. But it's strange in our day to find somebody that will take something over by peace. I really believe that's what's going to happen. The world's in such a turmoil today that they're not looking for some kind of giant to step out with a sword in their hand. They're looking for somebody to step out on the stage that can settle the financial crunch, can take care of all the problems we're having, amen, here in America, unemployment, of course, around the world too as well, with all the, you know, the crunches that we're having, they're looking for somebody to settle all that. And this is what the Antichrist will do. And he'll do it, the Bible said, peaceably. You see that? And another way it said, and obtain the kingdom by what? Flatteries. So that's how the Antichrist will begin to get his prominence. He'll ride out. He'll be one of the smoothest talking individuals that you've ever heard in your life. I know some now, I think I've heard some of the smoothest talking folks I've ever heard in my life. But they're going to get more, learned at that. Isn't it amazing? I could step out and be a politician tonight, and I'd be like some of them that's out there. I'd shoot myself in the foot the first time I made a speech. But there's some of them, they just say a 10-minute a speech, and they've got everybody standing. And matter of fact, when they get through, I don't even know what they said. And I don't believe nobody else has. It's just the way they've done it. And I believe this man will come out with such a set of lungs on him and a tongue. Amen. I believe it. I ain't calling no names. But I'm saying tonight that that's about the way the Antichrist will move in. I believe that. It'll be by peaceable means, amen, and by flatteries. I don't even believe he'll be as mean and vile openly as people are today. I believe he'll be a man step out, and what he'll say is he's going to have the words, and everybody will accept what he's got the answer. I really believe they're going to say he's got the answer. And, of course, he'll take it over. And that's the way he's going to set in. And then, down in verse number 23, notice what it says about him. And after the league, in other words, he's going to make a league with them. Well, we read verse 22 and I'll show you. And when the arms of a flood shall they be, and with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. In other words, he's going to overtake them with his flattering words, and he's going to become a prince of the covenant, making agreements with them. Amen. They're going to swallow everything, hook, line, and sinker. That's what they're going to do with the Antichrist. That's how he's going to get control. He's not going to come in with army tanks and guns and bullets and war weapons and take over. He's going to do it with the flattery of his tongue. He's going to do that. And they're going to look at this and say, man, what a man he is. All right. But he's not much of a man. I'll show you that in a little bit if I have time. Verse 23. And after the league or the covenant made with him, he shall work how? Deceitfully. Hey, our politicians done taught most of them how to do it. The Antichrist has done taught them. Antichrist's spirit done that. Amen. And we're going to day, nobody wants hard to believe any politician. Amen. And a fellow told me one time at the bank, he said he didn't trust anybody had a occupation started with a P. Preacher, plumber, painter. Amen. He didn't say nothing about a politician, but I put that in. Amen. But anyhow, I'm believing tonight that what's going to happen is he's going to do it and work deceitfully. And deceitfully means that you do everything in means to get people, and he's going to know how to draw the people. Amen. I've never been able to figure that out. And I've experienced a little bit of this down through the years. I really have. And the reason I say it, I'll just give you this to you. You understand what I'm saying when I get through. Down through the years, I've seen preachers that could come in and speak well, and they could get everybody seem like to follow them and get themselves a big crowd. And there was no more two of them than anything. They weren't real. They weren't genuine. And then I seen others come through and that was serious-minded and couldn't get nobody to follow them. You see that down through the road and down through the years, haven't you? So that's what's going to happen to the Antichrist. He's going to have a way with words. The Bible said here, "For he shall come up and shall become strong," verse 23, "with what? A small people." He won't have to have a big crowd to take over. That's what it's saying. Amen. That's right. Don't have to have a big crowd. He can do it. And he's going to be strong with a small people. Then verse number 24. Look at all these words. "He shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the providence, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done." Oh, he's going to be superior to what they do. And he's going to be doing things that he wasn't raised and taught to do. He's going to have different ways. "Nor his father's fathers." He's going to be something different. Kind of reminds me of our country, don't you? "He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches. Yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time," for a space. Now, if you look in another place, it calls that time, times, and what? Half a time. All right. Now, time, times, and half a time, and then we'll get to that when we get a little further on. That is 3 1/2 years. So, according to this, he's going to hold even for a time. See that? About a year or so. But the half of that thing and the half of that tribulation period, we've always taught that, he's going to break that covenant. But for the first year of it, it's going to look like a honeymoon to the world. You understand that? You got that figured out, hadn't you? According to the Word of God. That's how the Antichrist is going to take over. That's how they're going to... Let me just give you this little thought to put in your brain to roll around tonight before you, when you can't sleep. Drink your cup of coffee, go home tonight, and lay there and wobble on these things. All right? What happens after the saints of God are gone? I believe there'll be some questions raised. Won't be as many as you think, because there really ain't going to be as many going as you think going. Amen. You say, "Well, preacher, I ain't for sure. I thought all of us..." Well, we may be. But who's going to lose... who's going to worry about 400 or 500 people out of Habersham County tomorrow? We're gone. They'll be glad our place is empty. Amen. Anyhow, but anyhow, the devil's got to have some kind of something going on. And so when we got somebody step in on the scene and can settle all the differences and solve all the problems, he's going to get our minds off all that stuff, or get their minds. I'd better not talk like I'm going to be left behind. But anyhow, he's going to get their minds off of this. And so it says that he's going to do it for a time. "And he shall what? Stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army." Now, you're going to see he's going to start getting the place to take over and begin to do it. And if you read on down, you'll find that the king of the south begins to be stirred up into battle too. And he said in verse 25, last part, "For they shall forecast devices against him. Now, yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain." He's talking about those he rises up against. And he's going to take them over. Matter of fact, he's going to cause them to take them over from within. The ones he's feeding is going to feed. Now, I'm not talking about the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going against the one in the south. And what they're going to do is they're going to rise up. We're going to talk about this a little bit more in detail. I just kind of give you an idea what the spirit of the Antichrist is. Got me? Now, verse 26, or verse 27. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do what? Mischief. Now, when you got a bunch of devils together, you got trouble, ain't you? And they shall speak lies at one table. Amen. That's what they did in World War II, wasn't it? Trying to sign a peace agreement or something, and then the bomb Pearl Harbor. What they're doing and talking about. But it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall not be at the time appointed. That's not going to be the end. And we're going to go on. And I'm going to get this, and I'm going to close here in just a minute. We're going to see what this spirit of Antichrist is going to do. Now, this is what happened. Actually, this happened, and we're going to go back and look at the history of it. What we see in here actually happened on this earth with these kingdoms. You got that? This actually has already taken place. But he's showing us the spirit that was in that with these princes against Persia and those others is the same thing, and the spirit's going to work in the tribulation hour. This is in the 69 weeks, remember. Now, verse 28, then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the Holy Covenant. Now, when you talk about the Holy Covenant, who are we talking about now? We're talking about Israel, God's people. And he shall do exploits and return to his own land. At the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former, as the latter. For the ships of Shittim shall come against him. Therefore, he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the Holy Covenant. There we are, talking about the Israelites again. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. You remember Antiochus Epiphanes, I told you in another previous lesson study that we studied on this, that he even took out the oblation and he made them sacrifice and they brought in pigs. Sacrificed pigs, which is a no-no for the Israelite. See what he done? He's evil. Now that's what he's doing here. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength and shall take away the daily sacrifice. That's what I'm talking about. And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolation. Matthew 24, when you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place. See what's happening? And that is a reference to that. I'm not going to go any further but one more verse tonight. And I'm going to close. Because we need to get back into this and we're going to find verse 36. What he actually does do, and we're going to go back, hopefully look at these things that have happened and took place in the history of these kingdoms and apply them. Hope this is not boring to you. But if we look in verse number 32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt, again, by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That's when the Jews' eyes will be opened. And they'll know that they're not to take a mark in their body. You understand that? Amen. Praise God. We ought to have some Jewish teachings here in America. We wouldn't have so many old tattoos. Amen. Not taking marks in your body. God help us. We'll stop right there tonight. Hope it'll help you, strengthen you, and that's give you a framework and a groundwork. The last 3 weeks have been a groundwork to finish up what we want to talk about. All right? And so that's what we've been doing, trying to give you a basis and the groundwork to finish the book of Daniel. With our heads bowed, eyes closed, have an invitation. Just having music tonight. It's hard to give an invitation on something like this. But I never like to close the service without doing so. There might be somebody that needs to come to the altar. Amen. Always, but could be somebody. And so I don't want to take advantage and not of anybody. I want to give you an opportunity and a privilege to do business with the Lord if you need to. So let's stand. And while they're playing, if there's anything in your life that needs to be settled, right now would be a good time to get it done. How about it?